Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Arr, ahoy, crew members. Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob, right out of the shoot, how long have you been a member of the Klan? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, Mike, you're still, you know, we don't reveal that.
That's right. But Anonymous does, or maybe they don't, or maybe they do. This is the story of the intranets and why it's simply the best thing in the world and also can be the worst thing in the world.
It can.
Yesterday, a huge, huge story on the internet concerning the Anonymous, the organization known as Anonymous, that they were going to reveal the names of 1,000 people that were associated with the Ku Klux Klan, and that would include some political leaders. I don't know whether it was midday, 1 o'clock, 2. I don't know when this all happened, because you know how things are on the internet. We don't look at the time. We don't check the time stamp. We just kind of look at it, and it arrives. So midday, I'll say, yesterday,
yes.
This story breaks that these United States senators are associated with the Ku Klux Klan. And right away, I know enough because we kind of put stuff on the air to kind of look at it and analyze it right there. And sometimes I've done that, sometimes I haven't. In this particular case, it was such a huge deal that I said, take a pause,
yeah,
take a breath, and let's wait. And before you mention any senators or mayors or congressmen that are associated with the Ku Klux Klan or disc jockeys, you want to check. So as the day wore on, there were more and more websites that were releasing this information with senators' names. And it just went on and on and on. And each of these websites, I first of all realized that there are so many of these websites that call themselves news organizations when they might really not be. And it went on. And I'm looking and I'm curious because most of the names, if not all of them, were members of the team that I don't play for.
Right.
So I'm looking at this and I'm kind of curious because there's, you know, I'm not going to lie and say there's part of me as a partisan that kind of goes, oh, how about that? But at the same time, I tempered it with, let's just not get happy here because the fact is you don't know what's really going on. And as time went on, I became aware of something that has frustrated me in the past. We, so many of us get all of our information from the internet, but when something breaks like this and you're looking for what in journalism school we used to call confirmation, mm-hmm. a confirmation of the story, there was none. We were discussing before the show, there really were no major news sources that were coming out with a story. There were two stories also floating around that Anonymous, this group, was going to reveal these names, and then another story that names had been revealed and there were members of the Senate and Congress and local mayors that had been associated with them. And as I surfed and surfed and surfed and surfed, there's no information.
Did you find your way? You find your way to the so-called news sources that have names like, you know, and that it looks almost like a real news story. And
right.
And then you look at the source and it's something like, it's the sausage.
Yeah.
The sausage
yeah.
reports.
Yeah.
And but they've got some sort of and stupid
if you have a political party affiliation within your URL,
yeah,
I got to
right?
walk away.
Yeah.
I got to
yeah.
walk away.
Just let it go. Let
it's
it go.
Already skewed. You've got the graphic of the guy from Scream, which is Anonymous, basically.
Yeah,
right.
And then you're like, okay, that's the guy from Scream. It's just not you. First of all, you don't
V
have the right.
Vendetta.
Yeah, you don't have the right guy. You got to get the guy from V for Vendetta because they're just putting that up because it's mm-hmm. all they can find is a black and white mask and they got the wrong one.
That's right. That's the problem at thesausage.com.
The conservative
and the
sausage.
But the thing about the sausage or the grinder or whatever,
right,
you know, or the sub sandwich or whatever the hell it is, sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, all of these little websites, once in a blue moon, the squirrel will find the nut and you will have mm-hmm. a legitimate
but it's so
story
rare.
Break.
Yeah, it goes
it's very rare,
to,
but they have them, right?
Stupid,
they have them.
It goes back really to Matt Drudge. Matt Drudge broke that one story of Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, and
all
wrote
now
it.
He has his upskirts.
And now he wrote that for 40 years, and that's all he's got. And then there's everyone saying
improved website,
celebrity upskirts,
celebrity upskirts, sausage conservative website.com.
So here's the problem. I love the fact that you get your news so quickly,
right?
But at the same time, this is worse than when you see our local news station, WTOP, covering a tragedy in the nation's capital. They can't do it. They can't get sources. They repeat information. They repeat and they repeat. And so not that I ever said that the journalists on the internet were better than the people in mainstream media, but I realized that we
all... Mob mentality.
Exactly.
They want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of it. They want to attach themselves to it.
We crave this information.
I'll give you the prime
nobody's
example.
Doing any work to find any sources
Kevin,
out there.
Kevin McCarthy was engaged, right? Congratulations to Kevin.
That was legit. I hope I sent him a private message and he responded to
and
me.
So many people want to be a part of it. Ask me how many people have seen his video on Facebook.
His actual proposal video
his
at Disney
proposal,
World,
yes.
Right?
I raise my hand.
Please.
I've seen
Go ahead.
It. I've seen
okay,
it.
Okay, you
yes.
have? All right, everybody in the room seen it?
Of course.
All
how
right.
many?
Congratulations, Kevin McCarthy, not just on your engagement, but to really... You really cashed in, and God bless you, $153,000 in less than 48 hours.
That's wonderful stuff.
Good for him.
That's good. That's
right? Everybody wants
TV.
To be a part of it.
Yep, you want to attach yourself to it.
Well, you know, what is the... Here's the weird
thing. Was
Kevin
named in the article of the names of the people in the KKK?
How dare you besmirch his name on a nice day like this? Only you would do that.
That's simply
He's
a joke.
He's a sweetheart. He was very nice. He wrote me a nice message back, and I thought that was
good
great.
Man.
You know what? I'm even more thrilled that he took the time to write me personally when he had all those likes and all that stuff, you know. And here I was thinking that when my son got 1,200 likes for his Bernie Sanders costume, that I was doing well. You know, I got to do...
You're focusing on the wrong thing.
What you need
I
to
do,
do my...
something better. But you know that's how I roll, Oscar. That's how I roll.
If you want to keep up
Jesus,
with Kevin...
thanks for mentioning that.
You got to get that boy married. You got to get that boy married if you really want to cash in.
You know what? I think that they make a very, very sweet couple. And,
yeah.
And that's, I ignore the fact that she works for that conservative website. But anyway.
Does she work for the sausage?
I know a lot. I go deep cover on people.
I go deep
background, Oscar. Yeah. I always go deep background. Just on those late nights when I've had a couple of glasses of Cabernet, I go deep
Where
background.
Where does she work?
Do you still keep the PI on retainer? Find out everything you can on her. Find out everything you can.
Because I sometimes try to be objective, but on Facebook I don't. On Facebook, I post yesterday this comment about before we rush to judgment, we're already within by the mid afternoon yesterday. People from the right were already spinning,
of course,
in reaction to the KKK story, and they were the one guy posts a story about the Ku Klux Klan and the Democrats in the 1800s, and I said, everybody, first of all, we don't know that these Republican senators or congressmen or whatever they are, there's no legitimacy to the story, and you are already spinning and
defending and attaching
you
yourself.
Know if it's true.
You know what this is like? This is like when you, and it happens about every 3 months. Take a celebrity like Buddy Ebsen, who played Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies, and someone will post the fact that Buddy Ebsen died, which he did 5 years ago. And someone will see this one headline.
Oh, yeah, and they'll react to
and
the fact
share.
That Jed Clampett, they'll say
For
Jed
some
Clampett
reason,
died,
that never
right?
comes up on my feed.
No. Well, no, but it happens. It's a celebrity phenomenon.
If they're a dead celebrity, they'll come up on Rob's feed.
That's right.
You know how I have political parties that are tied into my feed? Rob's got every dead celebrity because Rob gets excited when celebrities die.
All the Hollywood funeral homes.
Which is kind of a twisted,
Mike.
Weird thing about
all
you.
All the Hollywood funeral homes have me on speed dial.
Yes. I mean, you had Fred Thompson and Al Molinaro in one weekend. You
Fantastic.
Walked around
weekend.
With a big boner all weekend.
Oh, Mike, I had a rager. I had
okay,
an Arnold's
you.
Rager
thank
from
you
Happy
much.
Days.
It was great. So the spin starts, and then I put a thing up about, I want to get it right. So
all right. Get it right.
Yeah, get it right, Mike. Just, for God's
well,
sake.
Well, it was not. I've posted many more controversial
Look
things
under your post
Facebook.
About how you're going to miss Buddy Ebsen.
Jeez.
He's been dead for a long time, but people get excited.
I don't care.
I don't even bother with
it. It doesn't matter to me.
I never
watch the show.
Simply, you don't need to. It's just an example.
When
Something
you read
contemporary,
that
please.
Al Molinaro passed away, you would have thought that Rob was related to him. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't. Anyway.
Everybody loves his nose, Mike. You know what? In a way,
I heard he was a great guy.
We were all a friend of Al's.
15 hours ago, I said, I haven't seen any confirmation regarding the Republican senators being linked to the KKK. Incidentally, this comes to play later because that's my first sentence. I have not seen any confirmation.
Why post at all is my question.
Mm-hmm. Because I was because I do it for fun.
Yeah,
it's my
you're just trolling though. You know what's going to happen.
Why
right?
do you post Chuck Yeager, an 89-year-old Chuck Yeager, looking into it because it interests you and you think it's cool?
Try to keep it contemporary.
Yeah, but I'm
Oscar.
Not trolling anybody.
I'm not trolling
the Yeager family. Yeah. You're trolling the Yeager family.
Yeah, how dare you?
I'm not trolling. I'm making my statement. This is my statement. So can I finish my post, please? I haven't seen any confirmation regarding the Republican senators being linked to the KKK. But I s you not, I am actually seeing spin from people sharing stories about the Democrats and the KKK from the 1800s. And then I go on to get very political. But I'm not trolling. I'm just giving my opinion. And only 241 likes on this particular post, but for me that's not bad, but it's not great either.
249 is slumming for you.
Well, let me tell you something. When you mention anything like with the Klan, there is I only got one share, and I'm getting stuff from people that I don't know that are really, really concerned about this whole Klan thing. And
they don't want to be exposed?
There's just a little underbelly going on here with people that just worry me.
You sound like
Jesse
the Body Ventura.
What do you mean? That there's a conspiracy theory?
You might have to go off the grid. Mike, if you keep posting about the Klan, you're going to have to go off the grid.
Please. Yeah. Move to Baja. We'll get you a satellite connection there.
I'm living under a bush.
It's just there were some people that I had to delete that were upset with what I was saying about the spin. And I just think when we get it, my point is this. It worries me whenever we get on this racial thing, there seems to be, I'm aware on the internet that there are a lot of people that seem to want to mix it up when it comes to not necessarily Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. They want to mix it up when it comes to, what's that?
You're one of those people.
No, I'm talking about the Klan people, Oscar. Oh. I'm talking about the racists, not the people that want to mix it up politically. Oh, okay. I'm talking about the people that are offended by somebody saying something bad about the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, think
Klan.
About it, Mike.
Thank
they've got all their sheets hanging in the,
but
and
I
their
point
hoods
out,
hanging.
What Oscar just did is what I was the victim of yesterday by the ideology completely obscures your ability
to even decipher the facts.
Why? Well, I don't understand why it says everything.
It's like, I'm not saying this is true, but I heard this.
No, I said, I haven't seen any confirmation regarding the Republican senators being linked to the KKK.
Yes.
But I s you not, I am actually seeing spin from people sharing stories about the Democrats and the KKK from the 1800s. My point was, the spin was beginning before it was even, before the story had even germinated.
Do you
That's
think,
what
Mike, there's a lot of people out there that think, you know what, with our secret society, we've got a good thing going. Don't mess with
if
it.
If this story is untrue, do you think it's healthy?
And I also believe at this point, from just nobody telling me or reading anything, I also believe there is a very good chance that the story about politicians being linked to this is complete and utter crap now. But I don't know yet.
Let's say the story's fabricated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you have a gut on this, regardless of the spin that's coming from both sides.
Yes.
Is it responsible of anybody, including myself,
right,
or anybody here, and are we subscribing to that same mob mentality when even if we don't believe it, we post something like you posted on your wall?
Oscar, the answer to that question, if it's the Republicans, yes, it is. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Cooking's an expression of what? Tell me.
At its best, of sustaining someone of love.
Adam Jones, the Langham, is now one of the best and most interesting places in London to come and eat.
Which part of that don't you like, one of or interesting?
I don't want my restaurant to be a place where you come and eat. I mean, we should be dealing in culinary orgasms. When's the last time you had an orgasm that was interesting?
Remind me never, ever to discuss food with you in public.
People eat because they're hungry. I want to make food that makes people stop eating. Cooking is an expression of who we are, and right now we're two stars, both of us. It's a two-star review. Now, we can keep on cooking and be interesting, but I want people to sit at that table and be sick with longing. And I need you to do it with me.
Look, Mr. Jones, I just want to say, you've always been a hero of mine. We studied your menus and recipes and...
A hero or a god?
I don't know the difference.
Would you work for me for nothing?
For nothing?
For food, for meals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if I was learning, Lois... Yeah.
Would you pay me? How much would you pay me to work for me? Would you pay me 100 pounds a week? 200? 300? Trying to make a point. Your resume's great, this lamp, fantastic, but you lack arrogance. And to be in my kitchen, you have to defend yourself.
Okay.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by CH Wine.
Yeah.
Welcome back to an old friend, Cameron Hughes Wine. Cameron Hughes finds premium vineyards that have a little extra of their best wines, and how convenient they're back with us right before the holidays. They buy those extra bottles, then sell direct to customers. Cameron Hughes allows you to drink the exact same wine that you'd find at expensive high-end wineries, but you're paying a lot less. Now, do you have a wine that you're going to recommend today, Rob Spiewak?
With all of my heart and soul, and it's an easy number to remember, Lot 600 is a 2013 Oakville Napa Valley Cab. It is bold. It is full with notes of black currant, oak, and tannins. I will tell you this. It is delicious. 600, only $29. It's delicious.
40 to 80% off what you would pay for the same wine under another label. That's what they do at Cameron Hughes. The average price of a 2012 Napa Cab with Wine Spectator score of 90 or better is $155. You can get one at Cameron Hughes for $30 a bottle.
Yep.
Plus, this wine is a sure thing for the holiday season. We love Cameron Hughes, and I know you will too, so we convinced Cameron to make this exclusive offer this week only. Free shipping and a free sommelier corkscrew.
Oh,
hello!
Cool!
These wines are already a great deal, and this offer makes it a no-brainer. The only way to get free shipping and a free sommelier corkscrew is to go to chwine.com, click the microphone in the upper left, and enter TMOS. That's chwine.com. Click the mic and enter TMOS. Don't wait. This wine is fantastic. This deal is fantastic, and I want you to order some today. chwine.com.
So good. Right? So good.
So, now, Oscar, you mentioned a story today, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, take it away, Rush.
All right, thank you. You know what? I'm glad that we're briefly touching about on this because simply, I think more and more
feeling it slipping away. Actually,
as I go,
but that's okay. I feel a relationship that was once very strong just every week
but
seems
Mike,
to be further and further damaged. But that's all right. Go ahead.
But Mike, I'm just coming out of my fourth 5-hour session of global economics, and I'm learning about monetary and fiscal policy.
No.
And I realized how truly ignorant I really was about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And how both parties have made serious strides in both directions against our overall economy.
Against the greater good.
The greater good.
Okay. Are you ready for a surprise?
Yes.
I know that you think... I don't think you know... You don't know one-third of my politics. I don't think you have any clue how I really feel. I completely agree with that, by the way.
Well, no, it's not something that I'm making
think,
up.
I know you think that I like one team all the way. Yes, I vote consistently Democratic, and I made that comment about Bernie Sanders at the beginning of the year, but I truly think that I totally agree with that both parties contribute to this whole global economy and supporting the people that they want
I'm
to support.
So I guess my point is I'm not – these are just facts is what I'm learning in school, right?
Right.
We've seen – we go back 30 years, 40 years of the general policy that this country's – and what really, depending on which president's in office, what they've brought to the table.
Okay.
And what has happened since then. That being said, as I sit here and – while I'm in class And I am enthralled by this class because I realize how much I actually didn't know on how the economy worked. Mm-hmm. What moved the meter? What caused inflation? What got us into a recession? How we got out of a recession, right? What tax cuts actually do? Giving multiple tax cuts to the general population while we're in two wars probably isn't the smartest thing. So mm-hmm. as you're going through these policies and seeing them the recent history, I realize that, you know, I'm big enough to sit here on our show and say, I, as much as I thought I knew and I understood politics and I understood general economics, I knew dick. I knew nothing about it. I was ignorant. I was following whatever headline came across.
Well, that's a big admission, and I think that part of the, you know, and I respect that. What is something that would there be the big theory that you held dear for a long time that you thought that's been blown out of the water by doing that? And incidentally, even with when you take college courses on the master's level or anywhere else, you know, everybody has a point of view. And economists, God knows, economists have a point of view. They have for years. So there are no absolutes. It's not like
absolutes. But if right. like, at least as of right now, in my eyes, if we're just talking strictly about the economy, it's simple math that you, if we have a deficit right now,
right,
and everybody's calling for tax cuts, and that if you have a deficit, even if you really boiled it down to your own finances, you know you have to get more in, right?
Question for you before you proceed. Yes. Now, you talk about how you're learning, if nothing else, that you didn't know as much as you knew. Do you find one of the most confused? Did you find that some of the confusion is the fact
I'm still learning
that economics, as its own entity,
yes,
is very mathematical and sensible, and there are formulas.
Yes.
But what tricks you up is when politics gets involved, because politics is more about opinion and watching out for other people. Is that politics? Is that what complicates it?
The logic is this: is that if you're going into election year, you know you have to raise taxes, and you don't raise tax. Actually, you give a tax cut, right?
Right.
Just because you want to be reelected,
and that's how you get reelected,
yeah,
right?
But it's a detriment of the long-term economy.
Okay, I'll play stupid for a second because I know how to do it very well. They'll say, if we cut taxes, the voting electorate will have more money, they will reinvest it in the economy, and that's how we'll get it. Is there any sense
of logic? is sound in the long run, but it's not sound when you have a $1 trillion budget.
Okay, I see.
You can't continue hoping that that's going to cut the gap. If you really want to bring down, and again, I'm not an economist.
But you're getting into minutiae a little bit. Can you paint with some broader strokes? What are some things, can you simplify it a little bit? What are some things you go, oh my God, I thought this was true?
The idea that a political party could, regardless of who you are, right? Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that a political party with all the facts in front of them saying you have to do X will not do it simply because they want to stay in power. And it's not this idea that we see behind closed doors. This is sheer history and facts.
Okay.
That a president could sit there or a Congress could get together and say, no, that's not the right thing, just simply because they just want to hold that power.
Okay.
The idea
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying tell me if I've got it right. What you're saying is a president in Congress can't really affect the economy.
No. What I'm saying is this. I'll give you a prime example. This is no directive towards any party, but this is what I remember from class, right? The idea that we were in two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan at the same time, and during that time there was two tax cuts that Bush put out, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The idea that there was two tax cuts that he put out and we were in two wars does not add up for me. It just
because
doesn't.
Of the cost of the wars, yes, that you know, when you're spending $1 billion a week in Afghanistan,
yes,
and you're trying to, okay, all right.
The idea that Bill Clinton is in office and he's got the surplus, right? And so we've got the idea that we have a surplus, but now we want to cut taxes when the surplus is just your rainy day fund, to put it in simple terms.
All right.
Why would you mess with that rainy day fund?
So, in other words, both teams have culpability in this, where you can look at them and say, when you have that surplus, that's not a reason to give back as far as tax cuts are concerned, or raise entitlements so much that people are going to, that we're going to deplete. We have to manage our own house, and we have to be fiscally responsible.
So, because you think that these guys, these Harvard MBAs, these Stanford MBAs that are in the White House, if they bring all the information to their president,
right,
and say, hey, this is the reality, man, these numbers don't lie, those numbers aren't, they're not weighed nearly as heavy as I thought they should be.
All right. And so, and overall, I get a sense of a futility here. From a political standpoint.
If Trump or Bernie are going to get in and they're going to run by the numbers, I might be a Trump or Bernie guy. That's where I am in my life.
So in other words, if they're just going to make sense logically with numbers, here's what I get to. I believe that, and we talked to Judah Friedlander about it yesterday.
Right.
We talked, and I think that what you're doing, and even on a show that's a comedy podcast like we're doing right now, we are simply talking. We are trying to get ideas out there.
I'm not waving anybody's flag. I'm just being honest.
But the fact is, it is so deep. The problems are so significant. And you do see things. We talked about gentrification yesterday, about the shrinking middle class. You talk about people that don't have enough. And the question is, how do we get there? And what frightens me is that both political parties have been in power and the same thing has happened.
Yeah.
I have seen this middle class shrinking. It shrunk under Obama. It has shrunk under Bush. It has shrunk under, and that's what scares me, because I see the overall trend. Throw the politics out of it. What I see is the idea that people that used to have a very significant amount of people used to have a decent standard of living in this country are going away. That less and less people in our society have that. How do we figure it out?
That's the upside is, though, then. So let's bring it back to like our nucleus here. Like,
okay.
As far as we're concerned, and I think the majority of the population, and this is where you can't get too bummed out when you walk out of a class like that and disenfranchised, right? Because you're just like, I'm just not going to deal with this.
Yeah.
Is that this still is the greatest country to live in the free
Absolutely.
World.
True enough.
If you work hard enough, regardless of your politics, you will make your way. Mm-hmm. And if there are so many government, and it's not a bad thing, programs to give you a leg up if you find them. So I really believe that regardless of where we're at and what politics have done to this economy and the deregulation has done to this economy, I really believe it's still the greatest place to make your hay, man.
I don't disagree with that. I think
you're absolutely right.
I think you are. What worries me is that there are less and less people that have that opportunity. Yes, the opportunities are still there. You have the great idea. If you are the one in a million that has that great idea, and you work your ass off, you got a chance to realize the dream. The problem is, and this is reality also, and this is sociological reality. The fact is, the vast overwhelming majority of people in any society, Oscar, are not going to have what it takes, whether it be family structure, education, just general smarts. We need the drones. We're always going to need the drones.
Right.
The people are going to do that. And my feeling is that we have to create an environment where we nurture our own human beings, and that's what worries me, how we get there, I do
agree,
but disagree.
You know what it boils down to, Mike, and it's a word you use a lot, empathy. I don't think that we have enough empathy running around in our society where people care. And if we got a true businessman in the presidency, and that theory, and we subscribe just for a moment to the theory that we have a numbers guy in the presidency, and that's how we're going to right the ship, you got to remember the presidency is one third of our government.
Yes.
And he's still up against another third called Congress. And if we don't have an empathetic Congress that wants to represent the people, then he can't do anything, because it's only 33% of the government.
The reason why I guess I brought it up overall is that I really felt I was embarrassed once I started grasping some of these concepts. And again, I have, I would say, 3 more months of this class.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start seeing the history and what has happened, you really, really open your eyes up to say, I'm 37 years old. How the hell that I never think to go on YouTube and try to understand what was happening there.
Well, you never thought that way because everything you are bombarded with on both sides of the aisle, every politician out there, they paint in broad strokes.
Of course.
Even the people I agree with. You know, you've got that. You've got people that just say, this is the way we should do it. We should keep these people out. We should cut your taxes. We should, you know, everybody should get a free education. Everybody should. They're these massive broad strokes when the details of it are overwhelming. Now, there's a part of me that believes politics, economics, everything is just like a great chef. And I may be out of my mind for believing this way, but I think that when you talk to a truly great chef, a lot of them will say the same thing. It's simple, simple, simple. Keep it simple. But the fact is there's so much on all of these politicians that there are industries based on it not being simple.
Right.
There are complete, you know, economies based on the fact that it's complicated. I think if you simplified stuff, that might be a good way to start, but we're never going to be there.
Yeah.
I just don't think
it's almost like we can't return.
I still believe in my eyes, and I go back to this because I was pretty bummed out on Sunday because I was reading through all this textbook and then watching videos trying to understand exactly what was going on. But my takeaway 2 days later after three weeks in this class is that, you know, I forget that we lost our jobs during the recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people did. A lot of people listening to the show know that, or if you're just getting on, like that's what happened, right? We lost our jobs during the recession, and
ultimately it was I call it, I don't talk about it as much as I talk about other stuff. It was kind of a salary dump in my case. It was a lot of big salaries with our company were dumped for economic reasons, and we discussed, it hasn't really come back that much.
No, they haven't.
Nor will it ever. Maybe
they haven't. But the point is this: we lost our jobs.
Yep.
And what did we do? Oh, we figured out a way to make our own hay, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And we did that during a recession.
Yep.
And I know enough people that during a recession said, all right, time to pull up our dungarees, put on the work boots, and let's figure out what's next.
I love it when you say dungarees.
I think it's probably the cornerstone of the show.
I'm just saying that this is the only country that you can do that in.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough opportunity out there if you work hard enough, regardless of the politics.
Do you think other countries could learn? Like, do you think the people of Germany could pull up their lederhosen?
Think the people
this
of Ireland could pull up their little green pants with
you guys.
Stop it. Come on. We're doing a funny radio show, for God's sake. Stop being so morose. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll
him and his morose dungarees.
Never mind.
Never mind. I have to play commercials so we can do that. Stop it. What is wrong
it's
with
all right.
you? We're going to talk
it's
more
over.
About you. Jesus
done
Christ.
Talking.
We'll take a break. Come back.
Let's go back to fart jokes.
On the Mike O'Hara Show. Oh, my God.
Hi, this is Oscar's phone. Oscar says he's too busy to record promos for Tech 411. As for Todd, well, he's just too wealthy and good-looking to do a task like that. So here we go. Tech 411 is two guys trying to bring you the biggest tech news stories for the week. They also give you an app of the week. In the end, Todd will plug White Noise and Compulsy, then talk about how hard his life is. Oscar will say hello in Chinese. Oh no, Oscar has had a few too many again and is making me get him an Uber. Please listen so he has more to do than drink.
Your personal guide to everything tech.
Tech
411 with Oscar Santana and Todd Moore.
That's Tech 411. That's another one of Oscar's shows. That's
starring Mike McIntosh.
Yes.
That's Mike
McIntosh.
We'll
be talking about fiscal policy on next week's episode. Tune in.
Don't. And welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. They like to me to talk to you without musical background, and I'll tell you why. Because they want you to understand that mailing and shipping are a routine part of running your business. It's important, and it keeps your operations going. But if you're making constant trips to the post office, that my friend, is a routine that you need to change. Luckily, there is a better way at Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the services of the post office right to your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage with your own computer and printer. Stamps.com lets you print postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, and the best part, no more trips to the post office. Yes. Just print the postage you need, stick it on, and then hand it to your mail carrier, and you're done. How easy is that? We have used Stamps.com for years. You should, too. It keeps our D.C. to Florida pipeline wide open while saving time and money. Stamps.com is the best. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use our special promo code TMOS for this special offer. It's a four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again.
You're going to love Stamps.com tomorrow, because in the mailbag tomorrow, you're going to get a present that you are going to love.
Good. I like presents.
And then I will send it right down to you. You're going to love it.
All right, so we're talking to Oscar about everything. We kind of, you know, spun the,
spun
the whole
out
thing with
the yarn.
Well, no, I mean, do you find that?
I guess my point is from all this, and it wasn't talking about.
I just
want to
reset it, and then we'll do it. We're talking to Oscar about the economy and a little bit of politics, and we started with politics. Sometimes it's just overwhelming, and it gets in there. And you know, you were talking about the fact that you get bummed out by realizing how long you went without, and that's, I think, what knowledge is. I mean, sometimes you can say, how long did I go without knowing some facts that would have just given me a better idea of what's going on. Is that accurate?
My point is this, is when I see posts, with all due respect, Mike, like when now, before I was kind of like, ugh, like you're spouting off your politics, not just to you, but to anybody on my wall, because I just don't want to see that. It's not my thing. Go do that in your own club. I'm okay. That's how I personally feel, right? But that's your thing. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But now, even now, as of yesterday and the day before, and this is not just to you, Mike, but everybody that is going crazy talking about what no new taxes are going to do, or what Bernie Sanders is going to do, or what... Ben Carson's going to do. I sit there and I wonder, do these people even know what they're talking about? Like, oh, do we really know what it means, what their fiscal policies mean to the country and how it will affect us?
No, they don't. And we have an uninformed electorate as a rule. And that's why when you have a debate, they ask questions about fantasy football. Because that's the broad stroke. That's what people are going to grab onto. And it's unfortunate, Oscar. And you know what? I wish I was better informed.
Well, let me answer the question, because it was kind of directed at me. I will tell you that my feeling is that economically, I think that it will be a monumental task for anybody elected to make significant change. I think it's really, really tough. I think overall that... You get into a situation. I'm somebody who used to talk about Obamacare all the time and how it benefited me. I'm also here to tell you that you know, the balance is there too. When I am one of the people whose premiums went up significantly under this program, and it sucks. It really, really does suck. So I'm here to tell you that's somebody saying, but I'm not going to jump out and say blow the whole thing up. I just wonder if anybody can take on the problems that we have in society and get it done. So the answer to your question is, yeah, I think that I think I know a lot about the political arena, and I have a lot of opinions but I paint with very broad strokes, and the devil is in the details in a lot of this stuff. And no, I probably don't know the devil in the details. I probably don't. At the same time, I think that this economic thing you're talking about is a small part of it. I think when I talk about political issues, I think in terms of philosophy, as far as the overall attitude I have. And that's where I don't profess to say that, you know, economically one team is going to do better. I think you can look at trends and say maybe make a case for both sides.
Yeah,
I think you can.
So
I believe in that.
The economics, I guess, are at the root of it's your finances, right? It's our finances as a country.
Right.
So I don't look at them, and this is fresh, so I'm very passionate about it. But I also can disassociate myself now and say, look, just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. This is fun. Just keep working hard. We're going to build this broadcast company into something special.
So
right?
It drives you more nuts now when you see me talk on this show or post about politics. And, you know, I think that I – so, you know, what I'm saying, though, is I care, and I always will care, and I don't think I've tried. I've tried to actually move away from it. I used to do much more political radio, and I the experiment failed. I didn't like it. I didn't like getting Dick Morris on and wonking with him. I didn't like talking about that minutia.
Yeah.
It's more fun for me to actually have paint with broader strokes. I guess
my logic, and to me too, because we're broadcasters,
right?
And this is for everybody that's out there that's doing this. I'm not saying you're going to go take an economic class or learn about it, but think about it. Think about it this way. And this is really dumbing it down, but if the bottom line, is a healthy country and a healthy economy, right?
Right.
Are we all willing to make that sacrifice, whether it means higher taxes and more entitlement programs?
That is the smartest thing you have said so far, because that is absolutely what it's about. It is about making sacrifices, yep. And it is about people from both sides doing that exact same thing, and it's never talked about. It's never mentioned. It's always, you know, my team is going to make your life easier. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think when you say something like that, I think ultimately you have to talk about sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that requires people to give more back to their country.
And then doesn't that walk hand in hand with empathy? And yeah. And if we're not empathetic enough to tighten our belt a notch or give a little more of ourselves for the better good, then we are stuck in a quagmire.
But here's where it gets futile, yes. And here's where now you're getting me depressed now, sure. Because I'm thinking, who in the name of God would ever be able to put the country on that track?
My logic is, if it's not a leader, maybe as individuals, and this isn't socialism, this is real, just logic, right? That if we're just looking for a leader that we thinks like us, do we really know and understand what our line of thinking what that creates and what that dictates?
Because, economically,
yeah, because economically, yeah. Because in my eyes,
I don't know.
People want no new taxes, but we've got a $1 trillion deficit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're a Republican, and again, I might not have this right, so please feel free to write in and let me know. Not on my wall, privately. I don't want that junk on my wall.
Sure.
If you don't want new taxes, are you willing to take the hit if we need to pay higher taxes? And as if you're a Democrat, are you willing?
Where
to,
would you take the hit if you don't have the taxes? That's the question.
I would say, and again, ideally, you would lower entitlement programs and raise taxes to get to a balanced budget, right?
You do both. You do both. Absolutely. That's the fastest way to do it.
And I
agree with that. And I also read enough about it to know that you have candidates out there that are talking about taxing a certain amount of American society, and those numbers don't necessarily add up. There are a lot of people, I think, from my side of things that would look at it and say, hey, if we can raise taxes on the super wealthy in this country, that's going to solve our problems. No, it's not. It's not. It's actually, I've looked into this. Is it a good thing? Well, I think ultimately you do need to raise taxes on the super wealthy. But will that solve our problems? No, it will not solve our problems. And we have to create policies that are going to improve the economy in other areas as well. Magically taking money away from the wealthy. And listen, folks, you know I am a liberal Democrat, okay? I know that is not a magic bullet. That is not going to, first of all, whether it can be done or not, that's not going to happen as well. So, you know, and for those of you who go, hey, I thought you guys wanted to be funny. No, sometimes it's not a bad idea for people that don't do this on a regular basis to have a discussion. And I got news for you. We're having, in my opinion, a relatively bipartisan discussion,
yes.
Without a lot of philosophy getting in the way and political ideology getting in the way.
We're not yelling at each other. I have questions. And I'll continue to have questions, and I won't ever bring them up here again. But you ask me that this is fresh, whether it's you, Mike, or somebody in the other side of the party, on the spectrum. I sit there and I'm like, do we really know? Do we really know? Because I don't really know either.
No,
and
I think
I'm studying
some people
this.
On both sides that donate to both parties that know. This is my Jesse Ventura moment here. I think that there are people pulling the strings that do not live in Washington, D.C. They live in New York City. And I think that the fact is that there are people that are brighter and more educated and have studied this crap for a long time.
Yeah.
And they are making piles of money because they know that no matter what, all this crap that we go through with the debates and with the candidates, ultimately, it doesn't add up to a pile of warm spit, and that things are going to continue to go well for them because they know how to play the game better than all of us here in the great unwashed. Now, with that said, I still think that ultimately needs to be fixed. And I think about that as well. And I don't know how to get there. But I know right now that the way the structure is with our political system now, you know, you're seeing people struggling more and more to make their way in the great unwashed. The people that are not going to have that dream come true. Mm-hmm. And believe me, it's the vast majority of people. Is there such a thing as the American dream? Of course there
is. Yeah, you're looking at it. You're doing a show with them.
I will also tell you that the American dream is out of reach for people statistically. It just is. And I'm not saying who it is, but everybody in this country thinks they're gonna grab it. And I've always believed, and listen, I can't give any specifics about that. I think you got a lot of people up in New York City that are in those ivory towers that are running those hedge funds that go, this is great. Let them fight. Yeah. Let them fight amongst themselves. Well, I just cashed my $10 million
check. They can't miss, you know, no matter what. Right.
Drives me nuts.
You know,
that's
but
what
see,
I, that's
to
what
that logic,
about.
And you can, please, and I hate that we're doing a show like this, but if you can just bear with us,
can
please.
I blame it on you? That's all
that's
I want to
know.
That's fine. I
blame Pony.
It on Oscar?
Right. It is my fault.
Oh, we have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about this in just a second here. And, you know, once in a while, you know, it's interesting. Just to give, I don't think we're solving anything. That's the
I
thing.
Disagree, just, Mike.
Thanks, Rob. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrill on the Mike O'Meara Show.
That you're alive and have a soul. But it takes someone to come around.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Let me tell you how pathetic I am. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when I talked about chasing the American dream?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I chase the American dream now every single Sunday morning as I sit at my kitchen table and I put together my FanDuel lineup. I do.
Oh.
I chase that dream. And that dream happened to put $80 in your boy's pocket.
Hey.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm getting a little help. I will not mention that individual that's helping me anymore. Don't want anybody to trace it back to him. But however, and I tweaked it, by the way.
Mike, it's the Koch brothers.
It's the Koch brothers who helped me with this. We're talking about FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the trusted leader in one-week fantasy football. The money is real. As my wife said to me today, well, are you going to take it out? I said, no, I'm probably going to use it for next week. But
Mike,
thank you, dear.
The word is reinvestment.
But I could if I wanted to. It's real money, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, give us the update.
Oh, this is great. An honorable mention, first of all, to intern Adrian Diego, who came in out of 300th. 296th place.
Did you say out of 300th?
Out of 300 contestants.
Okay, he came said 300th.
You know, Mike,
I might have
messed up.
You did. So
no,
correct yourself
when
you do that.
I don't know that I did.
You did.
You
said 300.
There were 300 contestants.
Thank you.
And
that's
he came
right.
in 296th. But our winners are, and I repeat, I will try to get this exactly right. In third place, Richard OC33, pockets $100. Third place. Second place, the name of the week. No Go Mojo Afro Robo. He wins $150. And a Kenter 80, our first place winner, $200. Don't you want that money?
I would like to apologize to everyone in the Mike O'Meara Show League that I was so, I was juggling my lineups so totally this past weekend. I canceled my participation in the Mike O'Meara Show League, and I did that in error. So I will be back in this week. And I will also tell you that Eli Manning, you screw me both ways. When you have a great game, you screw me because I didn't start Odell Beckham Jr. And you screw me when I start Odell Beckham because you never throw to him. Eli, get your crap together!
Hey, does he have Thank any you. Relatives in the league?
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Mad. Anyway, FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code TMOS and sign up now. Do it today. Put a ghost lineup in. Even if you don't have your locked-in lineup, do it today. Fill that league up. I'm doing it as soon as the show is over. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. Just remember to enter TMOS at FANDUEL.com. FanDuel, where every day is a new season. Sign up today.
So great.
All right, I don't know what we're doing on today's show, but it got heavy right from the beginning, and For those of you that like keeping it light, we're talking about solving the world's problems. And
I think the root of this is, if you're going to post something political,
right, on the Facebook,
understand that there are people, not me, there are people out there that actually know what's going on, and they may look at your post and say, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah. You talking
on
to
either
me?
Side. On either side.
Would you think that, I don't, who are these people?
You're taking
people?
This very personal.
Well, it sounded personal because I'm the one that posted, and then you started
slamming me about posting it. I'm not pointing fingers.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
And actually, what is wrong?
Hold on. Stop. Shut up for a second. You button it, and you now sit on your hands for the rest of the show, okay? What are you doing to me? You're killing me. You're killing me.
I'm not killing you.
You don't like that I post.
Do you really understand what you're writing?
I have a degree in broadcast journalism.
Yes.
I took economics in school.
Yes.
I have a, the day I got my B+ in macroeconomics, I thought I wanted to climb a tree and shout it from the highest mountain because I didn't understand dick that was in there. But my posts are not because I understand the way the economic systems work.
Yes.
My posts are because I was talking about the Ku Klux Klan.
I'm not just saying this, the most recent post. I think that the most recent post is, you know, you're trolling, in my personal opinion, but that's fine.
Thanks for the compliment.
What I'm saying.
Thanks so much. Is, I really appreciate it.
You must feel
that.
Better now.
Is
no.
Whether it's you or there are people that I know that are super conservative.
You know
right?
What your argument is? Your argument is everybody, sit down, shut up. There's smarter people out there, and you don't want to look stupid.
My argument is, before you post about something, inform yourself as much as you can.
Well, Jesus Christ, you could go back and look at political leaders since time began who espouse certain philosophies and ideas, and they would shut up if they were worried about the fact that they might not look good by posting something. I don't understand what you're coming from.
Are you saying
that there are people that are more knowledgeable?
Why
aren't they running for president?
Well, because they're too busy making money elsewhere. They don't care
about.
Yeah, but they don't. But those people, Mike, do you think the people that
they're under the radar?
Do you think the people that are running for president, both on who are Democrats or Republicans, do you think those are the only people that are probably right for the job? No, there are
absolutely
probably
not.
There are probably people on both sides of the aisle that are making their hay and making living in their ivory towers on both sides that just say it's not worth it. Not
well,
my deal.
We agree on that.
Yes.
That's absolutely true. But we are left with who we're left with.
Yes.
And I'm still somebody who believes in the system. I do. I believe in the system. I don't know what you are looking for when you're saying people that post, people run for president. It's in a public forum. People have supporters. People have detractors. People have arguments. People have philosophies. I think our philosophies have gotten to a point where there's tremendous dysfunction. I agree with you with that. And if you're labeling those of us who occasionally post political things on social media are part of the problem, I'm prepared to say maybe you're absolutely right. If you're telling me don't post anything because there are people that'll think I'm an idiot, I say screw that. I'll do that anytime I want
because I don't care about those people. It was the latter, really, that when you post, if you post something and you really feel like you're informed on the subject, this goes for everybody. Like, what's the harm in taking 10 minutes and seeing what else you can find out about it? Like, what's the harm in that? Because I feel like I'm not talking about your posts. Most of these political posts, as of the last 6 months, which really, on my eyes, when I see them on my wall, I just hide because I just don't even want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not ostrich syndrome.
Yeah, but you've always felt that way. You're not into the subject matter. You've never been into politics.
I'm not because
you don't even vote.
Yes, clearly, because I'm in D.C. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
But the thing is, it's just exercising a freedom that we have in this country. I think it ought to be mandatory.
I voted for the weed amendment. We didn't get that passed.
But I'm saying
it didn't work
you're
out.
Not. But how much of this is because you're not into the subject matter, and how much of this is I'm not sure by telling people not to post politically on social media.
I'm not
media,
saying that. You're putting words in my mouth.
Tell me what you're saying.
If you're going to post, inform yourself a little more than just what your political leanings are.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Take 10 minutes. research the subject a little more.
Don't be
and
shamed.
Maybe,
don't be a follower.
Well, why, but I mean, who's the arbiter of that? Who's the individual that judges whether that person is informed or not? I mean, that's the whole thing about our political system, that, you know, people disagree and people might think I'm right and people think I'm not. You know, who makes that decision?
This is the internet, Steve Mermelstein.
That's the man.
I think the president of the internet. There are certain subjects that are really black and white, and I think economics is one of them. As far as
that, I disagree with completely.
What is possible and what can happen?
You can get people, and I'm not going to give you the specifics, but I will tell you that I think that there are people, economic advisors to every political party since there have been presidents,
yes,
that would have completely differing attitudes regarding economic policy.
Oh, there are different philosophies, absolutely.
I agree.
But I'm saying
they're not universal.
They're black and white, I guess, in my eyes, is if you are spending too much money and then you're taking less in by lowering taxes, I feel like that's not really going to...
Well, I mean, the statistics...
That's not the
fast
track.
Hold on, let me stop, because you would say, no, there are people out there that would say, no, if you lower taxes, even if you're taking in less money and you're spending more, you're going to stimulate industry by lowering the taxes, which will make people, you know, create
more.
On
the market landscape and the economic landscape, that may be true, depending on where we are as an economy. With a $1 trillion deficit, I don't know if that's true. I think that number is too high for us to try that type of. And again,
nobody
I don't know
about
enough
it
about it.
No, but
nobody
while I agree with him that, you know, numbers don't lie, and that, you know, that is, it makes sense. Where it gets murky is where you use the word philosophies.
Yes,
philosophies and politics, yeah, they get involved, and that's where there is room for interpretation.
Look,
but I mean, the numbers. I mean, 2 + 2 will always.
I've
be
got
four.
The big red nose on and the big floppy shoes. I'm trying to learn about this subject, and really for some reason, and I'm part of this. For years now, I've been spouting off left and right, on both sides of the party. Like, I just regardless of where I am, what I think, what I've seen on the news, where I'm being informed. But do I really know? Did I really know? I knew Dick.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I'm capable of painting in a broad stroke for you. And if I'm wrong, you can jump. If you think I'm wrong, you can jump in. What you're saying and what you're making an argument for is what I think that I would tell everybody. I've told people this forever. When people ask me about being a baby DJ and what to do with the baby DJ situation, I think what you're advocating for is informing yourself.
Yes.
I think what you're advocating for is getting yourself as much education as you can, which you are not only getting, but you're also putting your hard-earned money down to do that.
Yes.
And you are doing that, in my humble opinion, and I'm going to give you a compliment here, even though you never give me compliments anymore. I will tell you that you're actually advocating for getting an education, not just to further your situation, but you're also doing it because getting knowledge ultimately makes you a better person. You can gain knowledge and you can be more informed, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's maybe what you're
saying
to a certain extent.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. I can only speak for myself. I just was so embarrassed sitting there and like going back on my entire career, realizing we've talked not just on this program. I'm talking about Big O and Nukes in Phoenix and in Baltimore and in D.C. We've talked about this subject here and there because it just has been top of mind in the news. And I look back at the way and what I've posted at times. It's just embarrassing because it just was these talking points from either party or what I'm seeing on the news. It's okay to form your own opinion sometimes.
That's not bad at all. I think that's a good last word on it. I really do. I think that's something that I completely adhere to. You know, educate yourself, formulate your own opinions, but don't. One thing I will disagree with you,
and
you can, don't ever hesitate to offer up opinions in a free society.
True.
Even if you're a little worried they might not be the right opinions, sometimes silence is... I don't want a country of people that are so intimidated by the fact that there might be people that are more knowledgeable than them that they won't talk.
No, no. Nothing to do with it.
Having an opinion
is awesome.
That's the basis of a free society.
Because you have the tools, and I had them as well, I just didn't know where to look for them. YouTube. Right? You could just go to YouTube.
Well, the thing is also when you're talking about the end of my post, I won't give you the middle part where I did get a little political.
Let it go.
I would say at the end, my statement was, if any elected official has proven to be associated with the KKK in 2015, that was not Republican, that was not Democrat. Mm-hmm. I said they should be out on their ass. And,
the three strike club, totally understand.
As far as I'm concerned, that is something that I'm glad I would say. And that, that organization has, since I've been a child, terrified me. Absolutely terrified me. It scares a lot of people as well. And, and the fact that, when you've got a group like Anonymous, one of the things I say is I look at this and I said, who's Anonymous? And really, if they're capable of doing this kind of damage, I'd sure like to know more about them, but they're anonymous
but you know what's so weird is that
do you know that Anonymous, even though they're using their powers for good ostensibly
sometimes,
they're using the same tactics as the KKK. Yep. They operate in secret.
That's Rob Spiewak.
Rob Spiewak said that about Anonymous. Rob, what did you do? Rob Spiewak.
I'm not saying a single word. You guys do you.
Did you know the Boys in the Hood is not about the Ku Klux Klan? I was so shocked. The Rental, it was just...
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, I thought it might be a nice palate cleanser.
All right.
Never again will I ever talk about this. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
The worst.
You want some water, Mr. Bernanke?
I'm the worst.
I gotta take a shower. We'll come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
On this week's episode, I'm going to tell you about a brand new Beatles release that you don't want to miss.
The Beatles.
And I'm going to tell you about some Grammy hopefuls that are amazing and you probably never heard of them.
Plus, it's our Halloween show. Check it out at TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's face it, you need to know how to cook.
Yes.
It's a skill. Come on now. You can finally put your kitchen to good use. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again. We were just talking about education.
Yes.
Getting an education. Mm-hmm. How would you like to save money, eat healthier, lose some weight, and gain a cooking education at the same time? I'm talking about BlueApron.com. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. And listen, don't get confused when I say get an education. They do it practically for you. They might as well have a guy reaching through their little recipe book and reaching out and showing you. They have instructional videos. They have the little cards that take you step-by-step. Everything is portioned out for you. All the stuff is included in the box that comes from Blue Apron, and the food is delicious. You'll be cooking with ingredients you've never used before that are delicious. All the recipes are between 500 and 700 calories per person. Delicious and good for you. Proportion, rather. Let me give you some. Salmon pastrami on rye with red cabbage and green apple slaw. Yum, yum. Baked Sicilian-style rigatoni with kale and ricotta salata. Yum. Right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really, the first two meals are free when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Carla makes delicious Blue Apron meals for me. I'm a very lucky man, and she posts them on Facebook. So if you want to check out some delicious meals, check out what Carla has posted, and you will be delighted, and thank you.
News.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Time for news you may not need. Mickey Rourke attended the premiere of a movie called Eating Happiness on Sunday night. It's a documentary on the practice of eating dogs in various Asian countries.
Linus.
You know, Mickey is particularly sensitive to the issue because his own chihuahua saved his life, according to a story he tells. He's told it before. He said, quote, I don't do Mickey York, but let me...
Mickey York?
Let me try. Mickey Rourke, hold on. He said, I was hurting myself, and I was sitting in the closet one day. I couldn't take it anymore and picked up a gun. I was deciding what part of my head to put it on, and my dog Bojack looked over, and he looked up at me, and he said, with his eyes, who's going to look after me? Then he cried in front of Barbara Walters when he told that story. Anyway, he made him put the gun down, according to Mickey, and he was ready to go. And
that was a chihuahua that did that?
A chihuahua. He's got a lot. I think he's got a couple of
chihuahuas. Do you think Frankie would save your life?
No.
Frankie would take a dump.
Corpse.
Say, do it, man.
Frankie would say, the safety's on. You better move that.
Yeah, I got to go.
A little tip of the hat to both Beluga and Frankie today. Double pumpers from both dogs.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Oh,
nothing I like better than picking up your excrement in my hand, tying it a little bow, and then seeing both of you squatting down for another try. Yes, sir. Nice that you're so goddamn regular.
They love dicks. They love living in the Deep South.
Mike. American dream. So Mickey somehow found the courage to carry on. That's me living the American dream right down here, picking up dog shit. Thank you very much. All right. Casey Kasem's kids won a big battle with their dad's widow. They're getting to cash a life insurance check that Gene Kasem tried to keep away from him, according to TMZ. Casey's four kids, three from a previous marriage, and his widow have been fighting over who gets one of $2 million life insurance policies. They're two of these $2 million life insurance policies, and I guess they won. Gene pleaded with the insurer MetLife to hold off on paying the kids because she claimed they could have contributed to Casey's death. No, I don't think so, Gene. So they get the money, and I guess Gene gets hers, too. I think she's getting her
$2 million. She's paid regardless.
And she has all that Cheers cash, that sweet tortelli money.
Yes, that's fantastic. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's a long time ago. Ohio voters will decide on Tuesday whether to become the first U.S. Midwestern state to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, although a rival ballot measure could kill the law before it takes effect. This is funny to me. I can't wait to see how it goes down. The election's today, right?
Meanwhile, today is election day. Meanwhile, intern Adrian, shopping property in Cincinnati.
There you go. Issue 3 is what it's called. It would add an amendment to the state constitution legalizing the personal and medical use of marijuana for those over 21. Issue 3 also, this is the problem part, grants exclusive rights for commercial growth and distribution to 10 facilities across the state. Only 10.
Mm.
Those facilities are owned by investors in the legalization movement. Okay. This is very odd to me. Critics of the measure say that that would create a monopoly, and they responded with a rival ballot measure called Issue 2. That ballot measure would nullify legalization if it creates an economic monopoly or special privilege for a private entity, thus killing Issue 3. Here's the real big problem. Nick Lachey is one of the investors since he's been on TV pushing for legalization. But since it's Nick Lachey, I think it's probably going to go up in smoke.
Ah!
There you go.
I don't know.
Oh, God, I saw his TV ad, and he's such a dick. And he comes across as so insincere. And I don't know. I just don't understand.
Cash crop.
Legalize it, but then put it in the hands of like a special group of people that are going to make all the money on it? That's
I think
crap.
That, you see, the thing Why is they're very get... close to having a good idea. What they need to do is legalize it, but it has to be distributed only by people that were in boy bands.
I think, look, if you're willing to take on the risk, you should get the reward.
Yeah.
Because you can be shut down anytime. Right now, as it stands, all these people that are spending money building these cartoon-sized dispensaries in Colorado.
Right, they could be making amazing money.
Yeah,
right
they could now. Be shut down at any time, and that's it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So they're taking a big risk.
So do you believe in the monopoly?
I believe that if you're taking on the risk and you're willing to take this on this entire cash business
yes.
that could really be shut down at any point and they somehow get them to legalize it, you should reap the rewards.
And well, Nick Lachey, Mike, has always been known for the short money.
And the biggest risk, I think, was getting Nick Lachey to be your talking head. That's just my opinion.
I think if he's an investor, he's clearly going to be like, I'll be the guy that talks about it.
Yeah. Right? Let me handle this.
Yes.
I've been on television.
On MTV.
An Albuquerque, New Mexico dentist is hoping to get ahead in the fight against post-Halloween cavities with cash. Byron Wall of Cosmetic Dentistry of New Mexico said he's offering to buy candy back from trick-or-treaters on Sunday afternoon. Or I guess he did it on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
He says children 14 years old or younger could pawn their sweets at his office, and he'd pay a dollar for every pound of candy up to $5. The purchased candy goes to Blue Star Moms. That's a great organization supporting New Mexico troops. Wall says the organization packages the candy along with clothes and food in holiday boxes to ship to soldiers in November. So his office collected more than 1,000 pounds of candy last year. So who knows how they're going to do this year. But Byron Wong, Cosmetic Dentistry, why don't you just go out and shoot a lion?
No, I'm sorry.
I love it.
I'm sorry. Too much beer and a lake dive proved a nasty combination for a man in one of my other home states, Maine.
Oh, yes.
Probably not for the reasons you might think. The unidentified man whose case is described in the Journal of Emergency Medicine arrived at an ER complaining of severe pain in his abdomen after he dove off a boat into a lake after a day of drinking.
Sure.
His abdomen was swollen and tender, but the 24-year-old couldn't pee.
Oh, my, you know, I seldom ask you to do this. Would you please reread the symptoms?
Yeah. His abdomen was swollen and tender, and he couldn't pee.
How many times have we all been there?
A catheter soon revealed urine mixed with blood. That's not good. It seems there was a hole in the top of his bladder. Dr. Bradley Gill explains that even with a full bladder, drunk people don't always realize they have to pee. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, you don't want to break the seal, Mike.
Well, that can lead to a traumatic bladder rupture. Oh, wow. That's... Is that super loud? God damn it.
That was good on our end.
It sounded like a bladder rupture.
Yeah. Well, Rob, you did this...
She's going to blow.
No, I did that because I was thinking of my bladder exploding. I'm sorry.
Well, the doctor explains that a bladder which might hold anywhere from 10 to 20 ounces of pee comes under pressure as it fills, but outside forces cause added pressure. So when he jumped into the lake, imagine holding a water balloon between your two hands and squeezing it. The part that pushes out between your two hands is going to eventually bubble out and burst, and that's what happened. And I say, hello there. Welcome to Dick Queasy's Discounted Seafood.
Oh, Thank you very much, Dr. Gill.
Now a little something. When you rob a McDonald's, what does it put you in the mood for? Apparently, more McDonald's. 36-year-old Jermaine Simmons of Bushnell, Florida, went to a McDonald's a few weeks ago after it closed, broke the glass doors, threatened the employees who were still inside, and he stole the safe. He's been wanted since. The cops eventually identified him and started tracking him down on Thursday, and they found him in the drive-thru line at a different McDonald's.
Hey!
They say he was wearing the same, quote, distinctive tennis shoes with reddish-orange shoelaces. He was also wearing a striped coat with a Lone Ranger mask. No, I'm sorry, that's the hamburger. I apologize. We'll take a break, come back with the audio vaults on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody.
Hey, if you guys would love to see us, Rob and Joe, perform stand-up comedy, we have a great deal for you.
That's right. Go to the Rob and Joe Show webpage, robandjoeshow.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner.
And type in the promo code Mermelstein. We'll see you soon. robandjoeshow.com, the TMOS app, and of course, subscribe on iTunes.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. The holidays are right around the corner. This year, why not give yourself the best gift of all, the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. You know how much Carla and I love our Sleep Number bed. Since every Sleep Number bed is available with Sleep IQ technology, you can have the best sleep of your life, and you can prove it. The optional Sleep IQ technology tracks your sleep so you know how to adjust for optimum slumber.
Mm.
Whether it's changing your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you know what's working because Sleep IQ will tell you. Plus, the Sleep Number mattress lets you choose the exact comfort that your body needs. And since each side is adjustable, it's the perfect bed for couples. Right now, save $500 on the Sleep Number Veterans Day Special Edition bed with Sleep IQ. No better sleep. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ technology are only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to lose your balance. Catch yourself! And then tell them that Mike O'Meara sent you. I would sincerely appreciate it. Yeah, you walk into the Sleep Number store, you buy your Sleep Number bed, and then you go, hey, this was a great transition. Whoa. Hey, I'm okay. Mike O'Meara sent me. Thank you very much. That's good. Let's open up the audio vault for Tuesday, November 3, 2015.
We're seeing a little bit of this now, and when a president is in the last couple years of their presidency, and if they're not going to run for re-election, sometimes you get a smile, a goofy, a great comment. I loved this yesterday from President Obama when he was talking about the GOP arguing about the way debates are going to be held, and they're going to say the temperature has to be this, their green room has to look like this, and you can't ask questions like this. Here's what Obama says.
And then it turns out they can't handle a bunch of CNBC moderators. If you can't handle those guys, you know, then I don't think the Chinese and the Russians are going to be too worried about you.
I love him. I do.
He's kind of loose in the last days.
Did you see the video of the drunk guy versus the Uber driver?
No.
Oh, now this is one of the things. When Carrie was thinking about what she should do when she finds her next job, she says, what about Uber? I said, no way. I don't trust you out there. You don't know what you're going to run into. This is a guy picked up a fare, I guess would be called a fare, right? And the guy that got into the Uber was so drunk he couldn't give directions. So the Uber driver tried to kick him out, so he jumped him. Luckily, the driver had pepper spray and a dash cam.
You're too drunk to give me directions, man.
No, I'm not too drunk.
I'm kicking you out.
I'm giving you the directions right now.
Nope, that's it. Trip's ended.
No, I'm giving you the directions.
Trip's already ended, man.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
All you need to go is Park Newport.
I'm kicking you out.
I'm giving you the directions to Park Newport.
I've already ended the trip.
Well, I'm in giving you a new trip. Park Newport.
Get
seriously.
Out of my car.
Sir.
Get out of my car or I'll call the police.
I tell you something, you all
he comes over the back seat.
And starts swinging at him?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Yeah?
I'm giving you
but wait, here comes the pepper spray.
Yeah. Call the police.
You're running now.
Yeah. That's what happened.
He's running away?
Yeah.
Call the police. Yeah, you got maced, mother.
You got maced, mother ever.
That drunk ass.
All right.
Wow, that's scary.
Isn't
man.
It scary? And you know, you hear about Uber and how it's a great way to make a lot of money. And I see that, and that's horrifying to me.
My first Uber that I had in DC when I was up there was absolutely the dream trip.
Perfect.
You realize people going into that. Hey, man, that's what cabbies have done.
There's
a risk.
Their
whole crew. Got to be.
Adrian,
do
you have a tipping?
Yes. Fun fact, the drunk guy was actually an executive for Taco Bell who no longer works with the company.
Oh,
Adrian. My God.
Adrian with the tipping.
There you
way
go.
To go.
He was just wanting his third meal.
How does that
meal.
Make you feel, Rob? How does that make you feel, huh?
Fantastic. So proud of my boy.
Fourth meal.
Are you familiar with the name, if I say to you the name, Ross Bajadasarian, does that mean anything to you?
It does not.
Okay, he's better known as David Seville, and he, of course, created the speed-up voice technology of the Chipmunks. Now, he died in 1972, but a musician in Canada, he found some old Chipmunks albums. These are made after David Seville died, and he slowed them down to half speed to hear what it sounded like when they recorded the Chipmunks' vocals.
Mm.
So when you do a Chipmunks record, you double the speed of your voice. So,
right.
For example, if
hate
you wanted to hear the Chipmunks, if you wanted to hear the Chipmunks sing something from Blondie,
I know where you're coming from. Honey, 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 you can't call me anytime.
So if you take that and slow it down by half, this is what it sounded like in the recording studio.
I know where you're coming from.
Call me, call me.
On the line, you can call
and what?
Me.
Now, did they have to record it like that?
Yeah, they would record it against the slowdown music, and then they speed it up, and so the music sounds right. And the voice is higher. I have another example here. Here is the Chipmunks doing the Bangles.
Classic.
And the actual way to walk like an Egyptian. Now, I have to mention this just briefly. I got all kinds of grief from our friend Cappy Pfeiffer once on my music show because I said, if you ever really wanted to know the way David Seville sounded in real life, you just need to slow the records down by half. And she wrote me a note. She says, you realize David Seville is on the record. He's on the record talking to the chipmunks. So if you really want to know what David Seville sounds like, just listen to the record, Rob, you idiot. And so she has never let me live that down. Justin Bieber had a little problem doing an acoustic set in Spain. The Spanish viewers were clapping along, but were not getting the meter right, and it was messing him up. If you're up, then you're down, and in between. Oh, I really want to know, what do you mean? At least clap on the right notes. Come on, guys, stop. It's like this. If you're going to clap, if not, yeah, at least clap on beat.
Oh my what a great God. Ambassador. What a great international ambassador that little douchebag
an
is.
An ambassador of rhythm. And oh, Mike, you know what happens at every it happens all the time. The classic Halloween mix-up.
A Canadian pharmacy had to apologize this weekend after accidentally handing out bipolar medication on Halloween instead of candy. The victims say they're sad that it happened, but happy that it happened.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone, everybody. Be sure and join us for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.